Short word of prayer, please, before we read the scriptures this morning. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page, we seek thee, Lord. Our spirit pants for thee, O living word. Thank you, Father, that we have the written word today. What an incredible, unspeakable blessing it is to have the Holy Scriptures in our mother tongue. But Lord, we look beyond thy written word to the living word, to the one who is called the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We thank you, Father, that our Lord Jesus Christ is full of truth, but we're also so glad that he's full of grace. And Lord, I confess my need of grace today, my need of mercy. I just pray, Lord, that we might experience much of your grace and mercy in our study together today. Lord, we hear the wind all around us today. But oh, how we need the wind of the Spirit. Grant it to us, Lord, today, and grant it to other places where your people are meeting together. Grant that that wind of the Spirit, the gale of heaven, will blow into churches today, that it will blow into homes today where people are worshiping you. Lord, have mercy upon us in these days, we pray. Look down from heaven, thy dwelling place, and pity us, O Lord. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Revelation chapter 2, please, in verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labour, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast laboured, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to take that verse 7 as my text today. The reference there to the Holy Spirit. In Revelation 2 and verse 7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." You notice that when the Apostle John, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he pens these words, and when he says that we are to give ear to what the Spirit is saying in these days, that's back 2,000 years ago and today. I want you to notice that he uses the word churches. He doesn't say church. Now, I want you to really grasp that today. It's not in the singular, it's in the plural, the churches. You see, the Spirit of God, the lovely, sweet, gracious, tender, dove-like Spirit of Christ, had a message for the church at Ephesus 2 millennia ago. And the other 6 churches in the book of Revelation, there was a message for them from the great King and Head of the church, the Lord Jesus. But I want you to notice that this message also is for us 2,000 years later. It's for the churches, for Ephesus, Smyrna, the other churches in the book of Revelation, but it's for New Buildings Independent Methodist Church today. And it's for all the churches in Ulster today who will care to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to us today. It's interesting that there's like a chain here. This message is passed along the chain, and eventually it reaches the churches. Starts with Christ, our beloved Savior. He gives the message, and it's the Spirit who communicates the message. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The Holy Spirit is the vicar of Christ upon earth. The word vicar, it simply means representing. We sometimes talk of the vicarious or vicarious death of Christ on Calvary. In other words, he was representing us there at the cross. He took our place. He died on our behalf. And aren't you glad about that today? I tell you, I'm glad about it. He was our vicar on the cross. The Holy Spirit, now that Christ has risen and ascended and is at the Father's right hand praying for us, now the Holy Spirit has been poured out on the church during the church age, this last 2,000 years. And he is the representative of Christ on earth, and he communicates to the churches. And he's speaking here to the church at Ephesus, but may he speak to us today as well. "He that hath an ear." Well, we've all got an ear. Let's not let the message today in one ear and out the other. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." You know, this last week, as the wind has been blowing, and every time you put your head out through the door, you nearly got it blew off. I'm kind of an oddball. I enjoy this kind of weather. Bracing, refreshing, kind of wakens you up. The freshness of it. Oh, for the freshness of the Holy Ghost today on the church. Oh, for freshness in the services. Oh, for freshness in prayer meetings. Oh, for freshness in our quiet times. Oh, for the refreshing wind of the Spirit to blow upon the churches again. You know, the Holy Spirit is likened to the wind in the Bible. Acts chapter 2, the great day of Pentecost is recorded there in the first verse. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now that's important, folks. In the day of Pentecost, there was unity. Not uniformity. People had different opinions about things, different viewpoints. And that's healthy. We're not clones. Your views on a lot of things could be different from my views. Well, God bless you and God bless me. The Lord's not interested in uniformity, but he is interested in unity. And then on the day of Pentecost, there was blessed unity. They were there with one accord. They agreed on the fundamentals. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Unity. And then you notice that they were in the one place. The one place they were gathered. They were assembled. They had been praying for 10 days. Boy, what a prayer meeting. A 10-day prayer meeting. No wonder the Holy Ghost descended from heaven. But prayer is needed today. The people of God meeting with one accord in one place. Days of prayer, or weeks of prayer, or 10 days of prayer, or, well, Lent starting on Wednesday. How about a 40-day prayer meeting, 40 days of prayer leading up to Easter? That sounds good, doesn't it? I'm not saying we'll have it. If you want to have it, we will, we could have it. But prayer is the great need of the hour. And the people were praying, and then the day of Pentecost came. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The rushing mighty wind. I don't know why it is, but the Lord just seems to have been putting that thought on my heart and in my mind this week. You know, as the wind has been howling out there, lying in bed at night, hearing the gale blowing. Just seems to be a longing for the wind of heaven. The blessed Spirit of Christ. The third person of the Trinity. You know the prophet Ezekiel spoke about him. Chapter 37 verse 9. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. The Holy Spirit there is compared to the four winds, the north, the south, the east, and the west. I'd like to translate that into Revelation chapter 2 and the first of the seven churches, the church at Ephesus. Because I believe that the four winds are blowing in this church. It begins with the south wind. If you go back to the book of Revelation chapter 2, and let's just prepare to look at this refreshing south wind that blows upon the church. The Holy Spirit, I believe here, is like a south wind as he comes upon the Ephesian church. What does the south wind bring? It brings refreshment. It's a warm wind, you see. The south wind is warm. Job spoke about it in chapter 37, verse 17. How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. The Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 12, verse 55, spoke of the south wind. Luke 12, 55, and when ye see the south wind blow, ye say there will be heat. And it cometh to pass, when the church at Ephesus was formed, because the south wind blew, that lovely, refreshing, warm, joyous wind of the Spirit blew in that area, and the church was formed. Body of believers, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, started to meet together there at Ephesus. Folks, that's always the way it is. It was the way in this church 36 years ago. That's how the church here in New Buildings was formed. It was because the south wind blew. The south wind of the Spirit. And the Spirit moved. And under his servant, Mr. Maxwell, and then Mr. Moore, the south wind was blowing. And they were just the instruments, and just the same as the pastor you have today. And please pray for him, because he's very weak. And he's got a lot of flaws. So he needs your prayers. Some people say, we need a better pastor. I'm not talking about this church, but in general now you hear people in churches say, if only we had a better pastor. What needs to happen is that they need to get before the Lord and say, Lord, will you help the one we've got? Pray for the one that they've got. I know, folks, that you do pray for your pastor. Keep it up. You pray for him and he'll have the easy part, the preaching. I tell you, the hard part is the prayer meeting. You battle for your pastor and for your church in the place of prayer. Then the Spirit will come and he'll make it easy for the pastor or for Robert or for Simon or whoever comes to preach. The Church of Ephesus was formed. We've read about it in Acts chapter 19, Paul's third missionary journey. Yes, the south wind blew. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, we're told there of the Savior's love for his church. You see, the Holy Spirit comes to his people as the south wind, reminding his people that they're loved with an everlasting love. I want you, child of God, to know today that you're loved. Now, you might have had a hard week and you might have had many a fall. And the Lord has had to pick you up this week, but I want to tell you that he loves you with an unconditional love today. I want to remind you of that today. The south wind is blowing today to remind you of his love for you. Your love for him is not all it should be, neither is mine. But he loves you. He will never stop loving you. If he did stop loving you, then it's not everlasting love. But that's what the Bible calls it. I hear the words of love, I gaze upon the blood. I see the mighty sacrifice and I have peace with God. Savior loves his church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, the Lord Jesus comes to you as the bridegroom today. You're the bride. We as the believers are the bride of Christ. The word Ephesus is a Greek word and it was used by a young man speaking of his bride-to-be. That's exactly what it was used for. It was a term of endearment, and a young fiancé would speak of his wife-to-be, and he would call her his Ephesus, his darling. Aye, we are the darling of Christ today. Those of us who are saved. Maybe you're not saved today. Come to him. We're still in the day of grace. We're still in the church age. It could end. The signs are gathering, the signs are all around us that the church age is going to end. I'm not going to be so foolish as to put a date on it or make any outlandish predictions. But the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and you need to be ready. And I invite you to come to Jesus today and experience his love in a greater way than you've ever experienced it before. Backslider, come back to him today. Don't let anyone or anything stop you returning to your Savior. Because the devil will put many a person in your way, many an issue in your way to stop you and to persuade you not to come back to the Lord. But by God's grace, just brush it all aside. And if you will come to the Lord today, sinner or backslider, I want to tell you that he will be waiting for you with open arms. Of that I am sure. Yes, the south wind blew in Ephesus in verses 2 and 3. Savior, he commends the church, speaks of the good things that they've done in their service for him. I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. The long list, the Lord commends them and praises them. I want to tell you, folks, the Lord knows what you've done for him. Yeah, he knows about those who have done things publicly for him. But he knows about the work that you've done for him. Those of you who are working behind the scenes, beavers, we beavers working away behind the scenes, keeping the church going. Let me encourage you that the Lord knows all about it today. Maybe nobody else in the church knows about it, but he knows about it. And he will reward you for it. All that work that's done under the surface, all the things that are done for Jesus out of, away from the gaze of man. But you know, folks, it's all because the south wind has blown. Isn't that right? The south wind has blown upon us. The south wind of the Spirit. Same south wind that blew in Ephesus all those years ago. But then we find there's a north wind that blows in Ephesus. Oh, there's a north wind here because, yes, the south wind came, that refreshing influence, but then the north wind blew, there was rebuking. The Spirit comes now as a harbinger of cold weather, as it were. There's a chilly breeze is blowing now in verse 4 and 5. Notice it. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Something has happened in the church at Ephesus. Things started out so brightly. They loved Jesus. Their love for him was red hot. The Holy Spirit had blown upon them. The south wind had come. And they loved him. They loved Christ because he first loved them. And they would have done anything for him. And he was first in their lives. And they said with the hymn writer, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. He's number one. And everybody else comes a per second. Love for Christ. But that red hot love is no longer red hot. It has faded. Other substitutes have come in. And yes, they're having their services. They're reading the Bible, they're praying, but it's kind of just going through the motions. There's not much love for their heavenly Valentine. That's always a dangerous thing, folks, when that is the case in any church, whether Ephesus or new buildings or wherever, when love for Jesus Christ wanes. This, of course, speaks of that period after the apostles had died and gone to glory to be with the Lord. Peter, Paul, John, they've all passed away now. This is the end of the first century AD, and the love for the Lord has cooled. Holy Spirit comes as the north wind here. I want to say that there's no anger or fury here, because the Holy Spirit never comes to his people in anger and fury. He doesn't do that. He's tender, he's gracious. And he comes desiring to bring these believers back to the place where they once were, back to a place where they love Jesus with all their heart. In order to do that, he has to come with this rebuke. Thou hast left thy first love. There's danger here. The Spirit is communicating. Jesus is speaking through the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, if you don't, as a church, return to your first love, eventually the time will come when the doors of the church will be closed and the church will cease to exist. The candlestick will be removed. There'll be no more church in Ephesus singing praises to the Lamb, reading his word, preaching services, prayer meetings. It'll all be gone if you fail to return to your first love. And Jesus doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want the light of the candlestick in Ephesus to go out, because the light needs to shine. It was darkness. And it's interesting, in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, the messages to the seven churches, Jesus calls them candlesticks, and he speaks of the stars. The stars are the messengers, or the pastors, the ministers of the churches. Jesus says, I'm holding the stars in my right hand. Touch not mine anointed, Jesus says. The messengers, they're not perfect. But nobody in the church is perfect. If it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, we'd all be blind and toothless. And Jesus says, the stars, I need them to shine and to be bright for me, to speak the truth of my word, because it's nighttime in the world. The candlesticks, the churches, they need to give their light because it's nighttime in the world. And there's evil out there, and the enemy's at work and involved in all manner of evil. There's need for light. And so the Spirit comes to the church at Ephesus, and he gives them this gracious, tender warning that there's the danger that the light is becoming dim, and ultimately it's going to go out. And the gracious Holy Spirit comes to this backslidden church. This church that started off so well and was full of warmth and affection for the risen Jesus. But somehow that has changed over the years. Someone said, I don't really know how they worked it out, but they said that generally from the inception of a local church, give it 25 years and the love cools. Love starts to cool. Not saying I agree with that, but I heard it, and whether it's 25 years or whatever, but there's always the danger that our love for Jesus will cool. Yes, we're to love one another, that's important, but I want to say above that, more important is love for Jesus. The two great commandments in the law. Which is first? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's where it starts, folks. I believe in 2021, there are too many churches that have got it the other way round. The second commandment is, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. But today, the vast majority of churches seem to think that it's the first commandment, love thy neighbour. So put your neighbour first and then the Lord second. Love him second. That's the wrong way round. We've got it mixed up. First, love the Lord Jesus, then secondly, love your neighbor. And you cannot truly love your neighbor unless you first love the Lord Jesus. The north wind is blowing here in Ephesus. You need to get back to the Lord. You need to pray, Lord, to restore that love for you that once I had as a church, as an individual. We want this church in new buildings to be a church that loves Jesus above anyone or anything else. But churches are made up of individuals, aren't they? And where you've got a backslidden church, obviously you've got backslidden individuals. Where you've got a church that has lost its love for Jesus, or the love isn't what it once was, you have to go back to the individuals. Very easy to get to that stage, folks. It's incredibly easy to backslide. You wouldn't believe how easy it is for a Christian to backslide. The pastor could backslide. One of the members could backslide. It happens so easily. It happens. Doesn't happen overnight. Just bit by bit as time goes by. And our love for Jesus cools. But the wind can come again and fan that love for Jesus into what it should be. Didn't we sing it earlier? O wind of God, come bend us, break us, till humbly we confess our need. Then in thy tenderness remake us. Revive, restore. For this we plead. That's only two of the winds. The south wind, the north wind. I intended to go on to the east wind and the west wind. I'm afraid we'll have to leave that until next Sunday morning. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you at the end of our service today for your great love for us. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? Wonderful it is to me. But Lord, you want reciprocal love. You desire that we would love you. Now, Father, we cannot do this, dear Lord, in our own strength. We need the wind of the lovely Spirit of God to come, to blow upon these hearts of ours, and to cause that flame to rise up. I love my master. I will not go out free. Blow upon us, Lord, in these days, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen.